know what this means? This is death means good morning. Blessed in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for accepting me to come and speak to you. The last time I spoke to you was 6 months ago. I believe it was on the Reformation. Today, I want to talk to you about love, not the world. Worldliness. Before we go into the Word of God, let's pray, shall we? Dear God, our great, merciful Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence with thankfulness in our heart that you loved us. You saved us. You made us your children indeed. We thank thee for safe journey granted to us to thy house to worship thee. Lord, teach us to know how to worship thee in spirit, in truth, in the beauty of holiness. Remove the busyness of life from us, the hustle and bustle, everything that will distract our attention away from thee. Bind the devil, cast every evil spirit away from this place, and loose our spirit into the glorious liberty of the Spirit of God, that we may have the liberty to worship thee aright. Lord, we pray that thou speak to us through thy word, that our faith in thee may increase, our love for thee will deepen, our walk with thee will be closer, our fellowship will be sweeter, and that we will love one another more deeply, truly and sincerely, that we may truly be united as one, as thou art one. Help thy worthy servant as he stands on thy behalf to deliver thy word. Lord, we pray that thy word that has gone forth out of thy mouth will not return unto thee void, to accomplish that which thou hast purposed, that thy name may be magnified and glorified, adored, worshipped. Pray that this message will bring blessings to thy people and salvation to those who are outside thy kingdom. Lord, be with us. Hear our prayers. Answer our prayers. Thank you, we pray in us all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Love not the world. If you know John 3:16, you know that God so loved the world. Just now we sing the hymn, "This world is not my home." And I believe you also know one hymn, "This is my Father's world." Now, is there a contradiction? God so loved the world, and in John 2:15, he tells us, love not the world. Is God being inconsistent? No. God is always consistent. He always says what he means and means what he says. So there's no contradiction. Now, why did God love the world? God loved the world of lost humanity. We see in the book of Genesis, when he created the world, he saw that everything was good. Man messed it up. We messed up our planet. And now we come with great ideas, save the planet. If we have not messed it up, we need not have to save it anyway. And there's nothing we can do, right? No matter how hard we try, we can never save it. Only God in his mercy can keep it safe for us. What does love not the world mean? The world here is the system, the belief of the world, the value of the world, which is entirely different from Christianity's view. We have to look at the world from God's perspective. When God says, love not the world, you have to ask God, yes, help me by thy grace, not to love the world, but to love it as you loved it, to love sinners. I want to share the gospel with them and help them to know you, the true God. who loves them and gave your son for them. The world system is different from the Christian system. The world is a selfish world. Christianity is love. Love thy neighbors as thyself. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul and strength. Love thy brother, be thy brother's keeper. Love one another as the Lord has loved you. Love is more than just liking. You know? Love means sacrifice. You can give without loving, but it is impossible to love without giving. If you say you love your brother, if your brother is in trouble and come and ask you for help, that's the time to show love. And the greatest obstacle, I believe, to everyone, whether we are Christians or not, is actually money. Money is actually something that's very sensitive, very delicate. Sometimes a brother comes and says, you know, I'm in deep trouble. Can you help me? I need $1,000. Maybe we have that money, but we love it more than we love him. And we say, sorry, I can't lend you. I have no money. It happens, you know. I mean, I've seen it. I heard it. Sometimes a brother needs money to renovate his house, his new flat. And he says, I return you, but nobody will want to help. You know, sometimes we think giving $1, $2 is nothing. But when he comes and asks for thousands, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, and we have it, are we willing to lend it to him? I do not know whether you remember this Mr. Ken Go. He started the Ken Air tour agency and it went bankrupt. And he says that he had one very, very good friend. And the friend gave him 3 envelopes. His friend told him, every time you are in trouble, just open one envelope and see what's inside. You know, the 3 envelopes contains $10,000 each. His friend was willing to give it to him because he had just gone bankrupt. He was very, very depressed. Can we be a friend like that? It's a lot of money, you know. Do we really love money that much? So the world system is different. If you love me, what do you buy for me? What do you bring for me? You know? God says, I love you. I give you my son. Somebody asked Jesus, how much you love me? Jesus stretched out his hand and said, this much. And he died on Calvary. How much do we love? The values, the beliefs, they're all different. To be successful in the world, you need to drive a car, you need to have a big bank account, you need to have a job that pays maybe 5 figures. But to God, success is different. There's no mention about money, about status, about rank, and so on. To God, he told Joshua, you want success? Meditate upon my word day and night. Then you will have good success. Then you will be prosperous. So as children of God, we should not love the world. We should not love that kind of system. You know? Sometimes we follow the fashion of the world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 30, he says, the fashion of the world passes away. I do not know if you are observant enough. If you are, you notice that today, a lot of young people, I don't know, okay, they start wearing earrings now, right? I don't know whether you see them. And now the trend has even gone on to old men even. You won't believe it, you know. Now old men wearing earrings. Not earring, ear studs. You know, diamond one, gold one. When I was a kid, the only person I saw wearing a gold ring was my neighbor because of his mother's superstition. Mother went to see, I believe, a fortune teller. Fortune teller told the mother, this boy should be a girl. So this poor boy, no fault of his own, just because of something that the fortune teller told the mother, she went to put a earring, and he felt so embarrassed. And you know that time, if you are a boy, you have a earring, I tell you, you don't know where to hide your face. Today, everybody is so proud of the fact that they have a ear stud or earring. My nephew has one. I asked him, don't you look girly? He says, no, this is the fashion now. Ever since we see David Beckham, you know the famous footballer? When he started wearing ear stud, everybody copied him. I said, yeah, he earned millions, you know. How much are you earning? You want to follow him? Are you earning millions? They just follow blindly, you see. Just because he's famous, he's a branded name, what he does must be right. So the world go after him. You see, the Pharisees, they were also afraid of the Lord Jesus, right? He did right. Everybody wanted to hear him. They were so afraid. They said, the world is following him, which is good. But the sad thing is that people followed Jesus, not because they know him as a Messiah, but because he could feed them with bread. The Lord says, you follow me, not because you saw the miracles, but because of the bread. He says, labor not for that which perish, but seek for eternal life. Well, the world is blind. They just believe blindly what other people are doing. Sometimes you ask them, why are you doing this? They will say, I don't know. Everybody is doing it, so I'm doing it. That's the sad thing about the world. And who's controlling the world? The Bible says the God of this world. The God of this world has blinded their eyes that they should not see the truth. And God of this world is none other than Satan. So people just follow blindly without actually openly saying that they are following the devil. But what they are doing, actually, you know that it is not right. So as Christians, we should not follow what the world does, especially fashion. It is not a sin to look nice, okay? It's not a sin to dress nicely. In fact, we ought to, because we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. But don't overdo it. You come to church to worship God, yes, look nice by all means, you know. But for the ladies, I'm sorry, excuse me. I have nothing against the ladies. My wife is a lady. Don't put so much makeup. Like those wayang people. Have you seen the wayang actor? Wow. That makeup is so thick. The eyelashes, you know, everything is false actually, right? Okay. God makes you just as you are, and you are really pretty. Tell yourself you are pretty. Okay. Don't say, I'm so ugly. I need cosmetic to make me pretty. We are just being disillusioned, right? I remember a colleague of mine, or rather a neighbor of mine who's a teacher. She has a lot of makeup when she goes to teach. She told the children, what you see, all these are false. At night, everything comes out. Eyelashes, false teeth, earring, contact lenses. The children look at her, couldn't believe her, you know. Said, are you sure, teacher? Said, yes. I'm already 60 over years old, you know. Do you think I really look so pretty? Yes, you can look nice, yes. But please don't overdo it. Don't go and follow the fashion of the world. We see the ladies in magazines, wow. Okay, with makeup and so on and so forth. You know? And I believe ladies would follow the fashion more devotedly than the men. My wife always said, you men are very simple. One white shirt, one long pants, solve all your problems. We girls, we must know what to wear, what shoes to match, what handbag to carry, you know? Okay, thank God. You know? We just put on a shirt, put on a pants, wear our shoes, you know, don't care who looks at it. We just go, you know, as long as we look presentable. Okay. But ladies, no. That's why ladies take a long time, right? I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you, no. I just, in general, like, you know. But I don't think you all take a long time, right? I think your husband can testify that. But if you are not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe you would want to follow the will of God. You'd rather follow the way of the world. The world does this, so I do it. Yes, I go to church. I must look nice. I must look nicer than all the others. Maybe that's why some people come, you know, and we look at them. We wonder whether they really know the word of God. Or not. Okay. Love not the world. Okay. Don't love what the world is doing. Okay. The world has gone mad, really. Okay. Success means, to the eyes of the world, you must have this, you must have that. Okay. To a Christian, if you don't have this, you are not successful. No. Okay. God says, you love my word, you meditate on my word, you will be successful. Okay. You may not have, you know, great intelligence. But when my spirit leads you to know the word of God, to practice it in your life, to live it out in your life, you meditate upon my word, you love my word, God says you are successful. Okay? And I'd rather trust God than trust what the people of the world says. Okay? Because I'm a child of God. Okay? So don't believe. Okay? Don't follow. Okay? Don't copy. Don't imitate what the world does. Why? We shouldn't love the world. Because James chapter 4 verse 4. The word of God says, if you love the world, then you are enemy of God. Because the world hates God. How do we know? John chapter 17, the Lord prayed. Okay. In verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them. The world hates Christians. Okay? Don't go and love the world. Yes, the Bible tells us we must love our enemy. But the world is not our friend. It's not our enemy idol. Okay? The world is actually a snare, a trap, to draw us away from the love of God. That's why Jesus told the people in Matthew 6:24. He says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You either love God or you love mammon. You either cling to God or you cling to mammon. So people of the world, they love mammon more than they love God. You know, to them, some of them, it says, time is money. I got no time for church. I got no time for Christian fellowship. I have to make money. That's the world. If you are a child of God, You must spend time with God. You must come to the house of God to worship God. You must spend time with Christians so that you can encourage one another. The Bible said, provoke one another to good work. If you don't come together, how are you going to provoke one another to good work? You can't. Okay? Do you know that your presence is very, very important in the church? Don't say, I'm a nobody. Nobody will miss me. Hey, we are all members one of another. You look at your fingers. I think the last finger has not much use, right? Or maybe some of you dig your ears with it, that's all. You don't do anything else, you know, with a little finger. But are you really going to chop it off? Don't think so, right? It's part of a member of the body, you see. You don't say, God, no use. You know, just like cutting chicken feet, you know. This one maybe can put marriage ring, like, you know. Okay. This one? You don't think so. When I grip my pen, I only use this. This one also no use, cut off. In the end, nobody is going to do that, right? It's just like you see. Maybe you're a little finger, you think, well, I'm no use to the church. Nobody ever talks to me. Nobody cares about me, and so on and so forth. You are very important to God. God sent His Son to die for you, you know. If you are not important, you think God will send His Son to die for you? You are somebody in the eyes of God. Don't say, I'm nobody, you know. No. God loves you. God loves you enough to send His Son to die on the cross for your sins, to save you, to make you a child of His. And He wants you to come to His house to worship Him. Even if nobody comes, even if you're the only person to come, if the speaker just speaks to you, you come. Don't say, look like the world, nobody's going to the meeting, let's not go, like, you know. Or this meeting is not important, let's not go. They pick and choose, we don't. Okay. We should love the house of God, love the people of God. Okay. The world chooses whom to love, right? Okay. The rich will love the rich. Very few rich will love the poor. You know? The rich will not rub shoulders with the poor. For Christians, it's different. If you are rich, you rub shoulders with everybody, regardless of their status. So the world is different. This is what the world is. And we are not to love this kind of system. Maybe unconsciously, we are being drawn into this system without knowing it, unconsciously. It's time we wake up to know what is right. What does God want us to do? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's so many things in the world. We can love the creation of God. Because when God saw all these things that He has made, it was very beautiful. It was very good. We can love that. We sing, this is my Father's world. How beautiful it is. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hands the wondrous wrought. Yes, God has made all things beautiful in His time, the Bible tells us. But there are things in the world that we should not like. Okay. Like cheating. You want to climb up the ladder, you have to cut corners. You want to be successful in business, that you must keep two books. One for the auditor, one for yourself. And of course, yourself one, you know, you see a lot of entries. The auditor one, what is legally you write down. That's how the world conducts business. You want to be successful, you just have to do something illegal. I had a Thai student a long time ago. I taught him tuition. His father was an eldest son, and he had 9 siblings, plus him 10. And he says he started a shop. He says, I want to give one of my 9 brothers a shop each. And he did it, you know, he did it. Okay. You think he could have done it if he had been honest? I doubt it very much. You know, it's so difficult to make an honest living. Yes. But if you are dishonest, or you can do anything, you can sell drugs, you know. Yeah, you can sell contraband and so on, under the counter and so on. You can bribe officials. And each of his 9 brothers got a shop each in Thailand. See? But then, you know, business, sometimes it goes sour, right? Business deals. We read in the papers so many times, people get killed, people get murdered, because they cannot see eye to eye with the business partners and so on. Okay. That's the world. But if you are honest Christian businessman, you have to be honest. A just way, God loves it. You know? An unjust way is an abomination to God. You know that it's very difficult. If you are really a Christian businessman, to survive, let alone prosper. But if you're honest, true to God, God will make sure you're blessed. Blessings may not be in terms of money. You know? Blessings can come in so many different ways. You can be happy, you can be healthy, you can go through life with a smile. You don't need money to do all these things. And God will bless you if you follow His way. Don't love the things of the world. You see your neighbors have, you must have it. Don't. You know why people get in debt? They have no money. No? So they borrow money. They want to impress the neighbors. They go and buy things to impress the neighbors. And the things they buy, they don't need it. So people get into debt because they buy things to impress the people whom they don't like with the money they don't have. That's why people get into debt. So Christians, don't go impress your neighbors. You know, just because he has something beautiful in the house, you must have it. Because every time you open the door, the neighbor looks inside. Wow, nothing compared to his. So you must do it up so nicely. But you don't have the money to do it. So you go and borrow, and you are in debt. And find that so difficult to get out of debt. Oh, don't love the things of the world. The things of the world, they don't last. They are actually transitory, temporal. And what are the things in the world? The Bible tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh? It is preoccupied with gratifying physical desires. Your flesh. You want to satisfy it, you know, maybe food, drink, dressing, look, and so on. Maybe some of you, you know, look in the magazine, you see, wow, if you exercise so much, wow, you get big, nice body, you know. Maybe you want people to look at you. You want to draw their attention to you. So you spend a lot of time doing this. You're gratifying your flesh, your physical self, your desire. Maybe you want to look nice so that you can attract people. As Christians, our duty is to point others to Christ, not to ourselves. Yes, we can be a good example. The Lord says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not yourself, but your good works, and they can glorify your Father who is in heaven. See? Your good works, not yourself. Okay? Don't draw people to yourself, because when you fall, they will be discouraged. You know? Okay? Look to God, He will never fail you. So don't love the things of the world. The lust of the eye, you must have it. There are people that I know go around in Singapore looking for best places to eat. And I think you must have heard the best roti prata, where is it? Eh? Yio Chu Kang. Very near here only. You know? You take 168, you can go. Yeah. And I thought it was so nice until my friend went there. He brought me there.
The roti prata is so small, you know. So small. Outside, I can get so huge one. And cheaper. And to me, it tastes the same. People say, that is the best roti prata you can have in Singapore. I thought it's a waste of time going all the way there. You can't find parking lot. It's very crowded, you know. Yeah. You can't find a seat. You've got to wait. Why not I go and spend less money in a nicer place where I have seat, where I can sit down and eat. I thank God that eating is not one of my favorite pastimes. What they give me, I eat. I don't go around looking for the best roast duck in Singapore, the best chicken rice in Singapore, the best char kway teow in Singapore. To me, they all taste the same. Why? Because the Bible says if you give thanks, to every food tastes nice. Yes. Just be thankful that you have food in front of you. You eat it, thank you God. It's wonderful after that. Yeah, the rice may be burned, you know. But it tastes good. Because when you're eating, you're thanking God that you have food to eat. When you think of so many poor people who have no food to eat. You see? If you have a thankful heart, it solves a lot of problems. Yes. The last of the eye. The last of the flesh. The last of the eye. Materialism. Accumulating things. You see this? Buy, buy, must buy. That's why they're very smart. They come up with the word S-A-L-E. Look at the paper. Buy one, get one free. Wow. You know? Buy two, get one free. Wow, free. You see the word free? You think it's free. Actually, it's not. It's not free. Because I saw it. I saw, you know, the shop sells Milo, you know. Buy one, get one free. They charge me 20 cents no, for the free gift. 20 cents. That's not free, right? If you have to pay for something, it's not free, is it? Salvation is free. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to pay money to earn salvation. It's free. It's not free, actually. They calculate everything. How are they going to make money, I tell you, if they give you free? Yeah. They are smarter than you. Don't think, wow, so smart that we are. Free, you know, free, free, free. Sometimes our concept is really wrong, wrapped up. Yeah. I think we mustn't tell our children, F-R-E-E, it's not free, okay? Tell them to be smart. Our parents didn't tell us that. We learned the hard way. Accumulate. You see this, you must buy. Okay. Ladies, sorry. How many shoes do you need? How many pairs of shoes do you need? You know, you have a green dress, you must have green shoes. You have black dress, you must have black shoes. You have brown dress, you must have brown shoes. You like to match. For us, we don't care, right? Black shoes solves a lot of problems. You wear white pants, black shoes. You wear yellow pants, black shoes. You wear blue pants, black shoes. Black shoes go with anything, you know. But not the ladies. Then they think of handbag. Then some of them must think of hair band. Everything must match, you know. Yeah. I think that's why they wear contact lenses, because they don't like to change frame, you know. Colored frame. That's why spectacle shops now come out with a lot of color frames, right? Last time I remember only black, everything black. That's all. When we were a kid, we just had black frame. Everywhere you go, black frame only. Everybody looks the same, you know. Today, no, you get gold one, silver one, yellow one, red one, all sorts of colors. My spec broke when I was in a camp in Johor. I had to go to a shop, and the only spectacle left was a white frame one, white frame. Can you imagine me wearing white frame? I said, I had no choice because I can't see, I need to drive. So I changed it. You know, when I went back to my camp, and people say, wow, Reverend Young, you look cool, man. They have never seen me with a white frame spectacles. I said, hey, it matches my hair anyway. Well, that's the way of the world. glass of the eye. Must have. Okay? Must buy. Great. Can never satisfy. The Bible says, he that loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 4, verse 8, the eye is never satisfied with the sea. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it happens, right? You go to a shop, you see this thing so beautiful, you bought it. Then you go to the next shop, you saw another one, which is more beautiful, and you still want to buy it. And you say, I wish I had not bought the first one. You know? That's human nature, the greed in us. As a child of God, we should accept what God gives us. We should be contented. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Be contented. The Bible says that if you have got food to eat, house to live in, you should be contented. He didn't even mention of the clothes you wear. You know? Yeah. But a lot of us are not contented with what we have, right? We must have something else, you know. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, obsession with one status, one rank, position, importance, and so on. As children of God, we are all equal because we are all sinners saved by grace. You know, when we go to heaven, no matter who you are, you can be a prime minister. When you go to heaven, you will say, I'm here because of the grace of God. You can be a beggar. When you go to heaven, you can say, I'm here because of the grace of God. Nobody can go to heaven and say, I'm here because of my status when I was on earth. Nobody could say that. We are all the same. We are all sinners saved by grace. Every one of us needs the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all our sins. That's it, you know. Yes, you may be richer than me, you know. Yeah, maybe your soap is more expensive than mine. I still smell nice after I come out from the shower, right? Maybe you smell nicer, like, you know? Maybe your fragrance will last longer than mine. It doesn't bother me. As long as I smell nice, I'm clean, okay. So when we come to church, we should not throw our rank around. Hey, you're sitting at my seat, you know? This is my seat. It has been reserved for me. We shouldn't say that. This is my place. This is my car park lot. I'm the deacon of this church. I'm the elder of this church. No. If you are great, then you ought to serve. And you are serving, then you are a servant. If you are a servant, are you better than a master? No. See? Pride of life. The world is different. When people of the world gave some money to charity, they want the whole world to know. They take pictures, publish in the newspaper. Everybody knows, you know. So-and-so donate so many thousands, so many millions. Christians giving what the Lord says. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand give, right? Yeah. When you give, don't sound a trumpet. See? God knows. Actually, it's from your heart when you give. If you give without your heart, it's not giving. Okay? If you give without feeling the pinch, you're actually not giving. Don't be stingy with God. God has given you his best. See, like this one man, he was a Christian. He earned $50 a month at first. He gave $10, $5, but that's tithing. He was very happy. Because he was very hardworking and God blessed him, he got promoted and promoted and promoted. And finally, he earned $500. And he has to give $50, right? That's 10%. He felt a pinch. $50 is a lot of money. He thought, $50 was the first pay I had, you know. That's my whole 1 month's pay, you know. So he wasn't happy. He went to see the pastor. He said, Pastor, I need help. The pastor said, what's your problem? He said, well, you see, last time I was working, I earned $50. I gave $5 to God. I'm very happy. But now I'm earning $500. I have to give $50. That's a lot of money, you know, Pastor. Then please pray for me and ask God to accept less. So the pastor said, okay, let's pray. He said, dear God, our brother here has a problem. He's not happy giving you the $50, even though he earns $500. But he's happy giving you $5 when he's earned $50. Lord, give him back the $50 job. He's happy giving you $5. You are also happy to receive his $5. But now you bless him, he's earning $500. He's not happy giving you $50, Lord. And if he's not happy giving you, I believe you're also not happy accepting it. So give him back the $50. Then he can give you $5. Then he's happy and you are happy. Well, you say, well, that's life, like, you know. Hey, when you give $10, you haven't even actually, when you give 10%, actually you haven't started giving yet, you know. That 10% right there belongs to God. You haven't started giving actually anything yet. In fact, we have nothing we can call our own except our sins. Everything we have comes from God. Our health comes from God. Our wealth also comes from God. Our talent comes from God. What you have? Nothing. Job says, I brought nothing into this world and I'm going to carry nothing out. You want to be happy? Tell God, I give you everything I have, everything I owe. Nothing I will keep back from you. You want me, God? Take me. You want my money? Take it, Lord, and use it. You tell God this and you mean it, I tell you, you have no problem with your Christian living. No problem at all. You know, it's true. Because by God's grace, I've experienced it. I told the Lord, my children are all yours. What you want to do with them, I'm not going to plan for them what they want to do. No. You take them. You give them to me. I train them up to the best of my ability. And I know I fail so many times. I give them back to you. Everything, God, you give me, I give them back to you. The car you provided me with, anybody who wants to use it, sure, go ahead. The money you gave me, God, all yours. People come and borrow, take. You say, I feel so bad. I say, don't feel bad, it's God's money. And you know something? When you give everything to God, you don't feel bad when people cheat you, you know. Last time when people cheat me, I get very grumpy and very upset. You know, sometimes just want to curse them and all that. Today people cheat me and say, God, they're cheating you. Everything pushed back to God. I'm very happy. I don't have worries, you know. Sometimes I go and buy things, you know. Of course, I ask them, why so expensive? They say, well, can't be helped, like, you know, everything goes up. Okay, you pay. Last time, no. Last time, you count so many things. Not worth. Even though you need it, you know, you don't want to buy it. Now, you just buy it because you need it. See, food is very expensive nowadays. But you have still to pay. You thank God you have the money to pay. God provides you the money to pay. Yes, you're happy. If not, wow, you really stinge. I tell you, I love money when I was a kid. I love money. My mother gave me 40 cents a day, 20 cents for my tuck shop, 20 cents for my bus fare. I walk to school and I walk back and I never eat in the tuck shop. I save 40 cents a day. 40 cents, you know. And what I always say, you penny wise, pound foolish. I say it's the penny that makes the pound, you know. Without the penny, where the pound come from, you tell me. Yeah. Hey, $1 make 10 cents, right? If you're short of 1 10 cent, you can get $1 or not. You can't, right? Hey, pennies are important, you know. Yeah, don't think, small chain, you know. See 5 cents on the road, don't pick, waste my time. Pick already, must go wash and clean and everything. I see 5 cents also, I pick. Now I see 1 cent also I pick, because money is money. Yeah. You know, you pick 5 cents a day, You can pick $18 a year if you pick 5 cents every day, But the Lord is good, you know. Sometimes I don't pick 5 cents. He give me 50 cents. So that means 10 days I can skip picking 5 cents. Hey, it's a lot of money, you know, you can give back to God. Yeah. Don't despise little things. They're very important. Okay? So don't, because of this, people are doing it, you must do it. No, you must be wise. The Bible says, be wise as serpent, as harmless as dove. Okay, we go on. Okay? And the world, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, God never gave us the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. God never bestow these things in our life. No, it's the devil that does it. You see how the devil tempted Eve? By first making her doubt God's word. Did God say? So the devil will come and tell you, did God say this? Did God say that? You know, that's why you have to read the Bible and know the Bible very well. Not to master the Bible. You can't master the Bible. You have to let the Bible master you. And if you know enough of the word of God, you tell the devil come and attack you. He says, no. You know? Sometimes you say, hey, you see, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody's at home. You watch pornography, nobody's at home. Only you. Only you know it. If you know the word of God, you say, no, the Bible says what? All things are naked and open before his eyes. God sees. God knows. You can fight the devil with the word of God, and you need the word of God to fight the devil. That's the only thing he's afraid of. Remember Jesus went into the wilderness, the devil came and tempted him 3 times, and the Lord says, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's why when the devil comes and attacks you, you can say, it is written. Then you quote the verse to him. And you are free. If you don't know, you are calm, like Eve. No. No. You look at it, God will. No, you eat of the fruit, you can be wise. So she looked good for food. You know? The lust of the eye, good. The lust of the flesh, eat it. The pride of life, be wise like God. Who doesn't want to be wise like God, right? The devil come, but his promises are all false. So when they ate it, what happened? Their eyes were open and they saw that they were sinners. They never knew sin until that time. See? So the devil will just lead you into sin. It's not God. James tells us, God never lead us into temptation. God tests us, yes. He never tempts us. He never dangles something in front of us and tempts us to sin. No, that's not God. He sent his son to die for sins, you know. How can he tempt us with sins? He won't. So don't fall into temptation. When will temptation come? Temptation will come just when you have your greatest blessings. The dove comes first, right? When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And straight away, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4:4, he was being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The dove comes first, but the devil follows. Triumph comes, trials occur. When you triumph in your Christian faith, that time the devil will come and test you. Yes, God allows him. He has to get through God to come to you. So we can rest assured that God has confidence in us to overcome the devil by his grace, by his help. Don't be afraid to be tempted, but don't go look for temptation. Okay? Don't purposely stand in front of a car and say, knock me. Before you can knock me, my angel will come and stop in front of you. Hey, your angel may be sleeping that time. He forgot. They are dead. You know? That's what happened to some Christians in so-called Christians. I don't believe they are really Christians. They took a promise from the book of Luke. You know, Jesus says that you shall drink poisonous things and so on, and nothing will harm you and so on. You know what they did, this group of Christians, 5 of them? They went to take cyanide, you know. Cyanide. The moment you take it, within a few seconds, you die. They say, no, God promised us that. So they take and eat. They die, of course, you know. Of course they die. Don't tempt God. If you tempt God, you can become Superman, right? Why you need the lift when you can jump down from 12th floor? Oh, God will send his angels to bring me up. That's what the devil told Jesus. Jump down from this pinnacle. Before your feet touch a stone, he will send your angels to lift you up. Jesus says, no, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know? That's why they make lift for us, you see. Yeah. Otherwise, every day I jump down. But going up will be a problem. Right? You can't jump up, you see. Jumping down is easier, right? Don't tempt God. This is not of God. It's of the world. The devil is in the world. The devil is the ruler of the world. Then what happened? The world passes away. We thank God. One day, the Lord is coming back. He's coming back and rule this world in righteousness. Okay? He will set up his millennial kingdom. And we will be with him. If we are a child of God, you'll come back with him and rule with him. You know? So you tell your friend, you better be nice to me. Eh? When I come back, I'm your ruler. Don't bully me. Next time you suffer. We are going to come back with the Lord and rule the world with him. Okay? One day, all these things will be gone. The devil will be banished into hell for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, you will be let loose and let the world again for one last battle against God. But he will fail. The devil is a failure. Okay. Nothing he does is successful. The only thing is that he leads men to hell. That is the only successful thing. And people who are foolish enough to believe his false promises are being led astray. So you have the opportunity to trust God. Do it. Don't let the devil say, don't waste your time. You're still young. You have plenty of time. You know? Why you want to become a Christian now? Enjoy the world first. Oh, don't sow wild oats. You may reap what you may not like. It will be too late by then. You know? A lot of people put time away. Say, no, I can have time. I can wait. You know? I shared the gospel with one colleague of mine. He says, I don't want to believe now. I will believe when I'm dying on my bed. I say, God, save me. And I know he has saved me. I say, good. But when are you going to die? He couldn't tell me. I say, secondly, how sure are you that you're going to die on your bed? I say, today you read papers, huh? People run, collapse, die, right? What on the bed? Die on the road. Yeah. Go swimming, drown, die in the water. Yeah. You can die anywhere. You can die at any time. Okay. Death is sure. Why not, when you are alive, put your trust in Jesus Christ? When you have the opportunity to believe, you know, because the word of God is like a sun. Your heart is either like butter or clay. The sun shines on the butter. What happens? It melts. The sun shines on clay. It hardens. So if your heart is like clay, every time you hear the word of God, you harden your heart against the word of God. You know? You will never want to believe. Ah, he's talking rubbish. Ah, I don't believe. You know? Ah, that's not true. Ah, I think I know better than him. See? And when you reach a stage, you will say, I never want to have anything to do with God. That's the end. You never want to receive Jesus as a savior. Yeah. So when the heart, word of God touches your heart and melts your heart like butter, accept the word of God. Accept Christ as your savior. Then your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One day the world will pass away. And what? The last thereof. Everything will go. Your eyes will become dim. You know? When you grow old, you don't feel like eating much. You know? And next time when you have no teeth, what is the best roast duck to you? You can't chew, you know? You can't taste anymore. When you have the strength to serve God, do it now. First, they wait until I retire. You know, serving God doesn't mean you have to go into the full-time ministry. No, you can serve God as the student, do the best for Him. You can serve God as an office worker, do the best for Him. Be the best office worker in your company, not to get any recognition from your boss. But the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Yeah, if God calls you into full-time ministry, go and serve Him. It's the best job you can have, you know. And I tell you something, whatever you do, take it as a ministry. Don't take it as a job. If you have a work, tell God, this is my ministry. You give it to me, and I tell you, you enjoy your ministry. Work, no. Nobody enjoys work. That's why people say, wow, tomorrow Monday already. Have you seen the cartoon? Monday, that fella walk, bent all the way down. Tuesday, a bit come up. Wednesday, a bit. Wow, Friday, he stand up straight. Saturday, he can dance. No need to work. Sunday, free. Monday, go back. That's life. If you take it as a ministry, every day you walk up straight. You enjoy it, you know, you really enjoy it. You really enjoy your work. That's why I enjoy being a teacher, because that's my ministry. I enjoy working with kids. I love kids. Yesterday, I met one student. I haven't seen her for 40 years. She's 53 years old. She stood next to me. She could still recognize me. I could still remember her name. They say, Mr. Yong? I say, Peggy? You see, when you have a ministry, you really enjoy it. You can remember a lot of things. So take it as a ministry from God. Whatever it is, your studies is a ministry. I must do it for God. I must enjoy it. So students, do you enjoy it? Going to school? I think of that teacher only, I get headache. You know? Yeah. Some of us don't like the teacher, give him names like Mr. Yawn, so boring. You know? Yeah. That's why my son, my wife always like to tease my son and say, you cannot be a teacher, like, you know. Mr. Yong, they call you Mr. Yawn. Because you're so boring. When we don't like people, we nickname them, you know. We like people, we love to give them special names. So if you love your ministry, you enjoy it, I tell you. You find fun going to work, going to school. Even as a housewife, that's your ministry for you. You enjoy keeping your house clean, cooking, sweeping, dusting, and everything. But you think this is a house chore, I tell you, you really drink. Why I married this husband? So messy. Come here, throw the shoes there, throw the socks there. I'm going to pick up and clean. Tell him so many hundreds of times, you know. A place for everything, everything for a place. Never listens. But what to do? I marry him. I must do it. He said, this is my ministry, God. I married my husband. I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. Don't care where he put his shoes. You can even hide his shoes, you know. You will go and find for him. Yeah, maybe he play hide and seek with you. Yes, you enjoy it. I tell you, you really enjoy it. So take it as a ministry. Don't take the world, a job is a job. The job pays $500, give $500 worth. Don't give $600 worth. You know? Very calculative. But not a child of God. When you're given something to do, you do it with all your might, whether you get paid or not. Because God one day is going to reward you. Yes. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's God. He remembers what you did for Him. You know? Your boss, oh, he forgets. Sometimes you do a lot of good things for him, he forgets. You do one bad thing, he remembers for life. That's human, but not God. God says, I remember your sin no more. I cast them behind my back. But he remembers our good works. Yes. Aren't you happy being a child of God? Yes, of course, you know. We can go through life with a smile on our face, with joy in our heart. We will spring in our step, you know. Yes, we can look forward to the future, wow, with bright hope. because Jesus is coming again. So in short, what is worldliness? Worldliness is attachment to the outward, to the transitory, to the unreal. In opposition to God, you are a child of God, is the love for the inward, you see, your soul, the love for the eternal, and the love for those that is true, not unreal, true. Okay? That's what Christians ought to live their life for. Live for eternity. What you do for God counts. Every little thing counts. Remember, you have to stand before God and give an account of what you do in your life to Him. Yeah, make it count for Him. Don't while away your time, you know, in useless things that don't count at all. You can stand before Him, you've got nothing to say and hang your head down in shame. Yes, I mean, when you have done something good and so on, of course, you're not proud of the fact there, but you thank God that He has given you an opportunity to do good. See? So don't love the world, beloved. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. When man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world hates us. Because we are against the world. But we have the word of God. We love God. We ought to live for Him and show to others that we are not of the world. The Lord Himself said, I am not of the world, even as they are not of the world. Twice He said that in John 17, His high priestly prayer. Twice He told God, okay, they are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Okay. Yes, we are born into the world, but we are not of the world. We don't follow the star, the system, the belief, okay, the way the world works and so on. No, we believe in God, in His word, what He tells us to do. And I pray that these words that you have heard this morning, they are not my words. They are from the word of God. And I hope it will touch your heart. And that you will not love the world and not live for the world, but you'll live for God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, our hearts are thankful to Thee for Thy great love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Thou sendest Thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to bear our sins upon His own body, so much so that He was separated from Thee, because He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The pain He went through, bearing our sins, being separated from God, help us not to sin so easily and so readily, because it breaks fellowship. God, help us not to love the world, not to love the things of the world. Help us, if we have lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, to get rid of all this, because they are not from Thee. They are of the world. They are from the devil. Lord, I commit these beloved brethren of Fulham's New Life Church into Thy loving hands, that Thou send Thy angels and camp around them, watch over them, protect them from harm and danger, keep them safe under the shadows of Thy almighty wings. Bless the pastors, the deacons, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, the group leaders, all those, O Lord, in this church. Pray that You will unite all their hearts together, that they may be one, work together for the unity, for the good of this church. And may You use everyone to be a beacon of light, to shine around this place, that lost people walking in darkness may see the light and come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Pray for anyone sitting in the pews at this moment who may not know Jesus personally as their Savior, that Thou have mercy to speak to their hearts and save their souls. Make them willing to forgo the world, the things of the world, and put their trust in Jesus as their personal Savior, to know that is able to save them to the uttermost. So Lord, bless us this day. We thank thee, we pray and ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you.